Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, A Message to the Churches. We'll also have music from the Sanctuary Choir. So join us now from Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
Friends, as we are confident in the grace of God, we come together to confess the things which prevent us from fully living in that grace. Please join me in the prayer of confession. God of grace and glory, you call us together to be your church. We confess that we enjoy the privilege more than the responsibility. We are humbled to be called by your name, but are hesitant to listen to your voice. We are glad to be a part of the body, but are wary of becoming too involved. Forgive us, Lord, for our feeble faith, and by the ministry of your Holy Spirit, renew in us your call to worship and serve you and your kingdom purposes. By your power, help us to become what we are, your people, your body, your church. These and all things we pray together and in the silence of our hearts, in the name of Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride, and with his blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. We are forgiven.
Glory. Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 1, beginning at the 9th verse. Let's listen together to this, the word of our Lord. I, John, your brother, who share with you in Jesus the persecution, the kingdom, and the patient endurance, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see whose voice it was that spoke to me, and on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. In the midst of the lampstands, I saw one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe and a golden sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white as white wool, white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire, his feet were like burnished bronze refined as in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining with full force. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead, but he placed his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. For I am the first and the last, I am the living one. I was dead, and see, I am alive forever and ever, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. Now write what you have seen, what is, and what is to take place after this. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our lesson this morning makes it onto our list of 50 great passages. You know, we've been looking this year at 50 great passages in Scripture because it is the prologue to the messages which the Spirit of God gives to the churches of Asia Minor, recorded by the Apostle John in the opening chapters of the book of Revelation. So we read from chapter 1. The messages themselves are given in chapters 2 and 3. We're not going to read those this morning. So here's your homework when you go home today. I'm going to reference those that are recorded in 2 and 3. I'd like for you to read those. And I'd like for you to read them today, while this message is still close in our hearing. I'd like for you to read them slowly, reflectively, meditate upon them, read them devotionally as a message that is written to the churches, not just the churches of Asia Minor, but to us here today and to all churches, and even more specifically written to you and to me today. So with that, let's pray. Lord, I give you thanks for the privilege of worship and pray now that the words of my mouth, that the thoughts of our hearts together might find acceptance in your sight. For it is our heart's desire to please you, to love you, to serve you, and this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Patmos is a small, rocky, barren, very isolated, crescent-shaped island about 40 miles off the west coast of Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. It was there that the Apostle John was exiled. He had been banished there by the Emperor Domitian near the end of the first century because of, as he put it, the word of the Lord and the testimony of Jesus. John writes this message as a brother, as a fellow sharer in the gospel, who, like his readers, was suffering the persecution of naming the name of Jesus, as well as the promises, holding on to the promises that are given when we name that name. He writes, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. In that remote, isolated place, John had an encounter with the Spirit of God. He had an experience of revelation, of insight, of ecstasy. And of note, it happened on the Lord's Day. It happened on Sunday. So whether you are here gathered with us together in this space, or whether you find yourselves alone sitting on your sofa in your home, the message to us is the Lord knows exactly where you are and can come and have an experience with you, an encounter with you as we present ourselves in worship. John tells us that he heard a loud voice behind him instructing him to write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. And when he turned to see who it was that was speaking to him, he saw one like the Son of Man, an Old Testament reference, speaking of the risen Christ. And not unlike the gospel writers, if you'll recall, they tried to find language to describe Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, speaking of the sun shining through his chest. What a nearly impossible task it is to use human language to describe the divine encounter. But John makes this attempt as he writes of the one who stands before him, long robe, golden sash, white hair, eyes of flame like fire, feet like burnished bronze, a voice like many waters, his tongue like a two-edged sword, his face shining like the full sun shining in its brightness. And finding himself in the presence of this awesome being, John does the most appropriate thing. He falls before him in worship. He bows before him in worship. And Jesus reaches out and touches him on the shoulder and says, "Do not be afraid." And then he instructs him to write down the revelation that he is being given and send that then to the seven churches of Asia Minor. So as we look at these passages this morning, and as you reflect on them later today, I'll ask you to consider, who is this letter being written to? Is it to the seven churches of Asia Minor alone? I mean, certainly there are specific references to each of the churches here. Or are they written to all churches in all times and places? Or are they intended for each of us individually as followers of Jesus, as members of his body called the church? There's a certain pattern or format to each of the seven letters, beginning with to whom the letter is addressed, the church at Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, etc., and from whom the letter comes. That being not John. John is not the author of the book of Revelation. He is the recorder. He is the scribe of what he is being revealed, what is being revealed to him. So the message is really coming from the risen Lord, the Spirit of God. And of note, this risen Christ walks among the churches. This is written at a time, this is post-resurrection, post-Pentecost, after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not dead and gone. The writer is saying Jesus is very much alive and well in his church. His church there, his church here, his church then, his church now. And a message is given to each of the respective churches, beginning most often with a message of commendation, commending them for their faith and for their faithfulness, particularly given the circumstances of suffering and of persecution they find themselves in. They're commended for their works, their toil, their patient endurance, as he writes to the church at Ephesus, for their holding fast to the name of Jesus, for their not denying their faith despite the pressures that are put upon them, the church at Pergamum, for their love, their faith, their service, their patient endurance, Thyatira. Thyatira has a particular notation that he commends them for their last works, their most recent works, or even greater than their first works. They were continuing to grow in faith. So assuming that these letters are being written not just to those seven churches, but to us here, Tab, as well, we too, I believe, would receive a word of commendation from our Lord for the good ministries that we do, for the services that we hold, our mission and outreach, both now and for the past 170 years. But we also need to be aware that these letters were written not only to offer commendation, but also correction and, when needed, condemnation. The Spirit speaks harsh words of judgment to each of these churches, words which we also would do well to hear and heed and listen to as they apply to us as well. After commending the church in Ephesus, for instance, for their faithfulness and endurance, he condemns them that they have abandoned their first love. They have lost their passion for the gospel. After acknowledging that the church in Pergamum was located in a difficult place to do ministry, indeed it was, the Spirit says they are doing ministry where Satan's throne is. The Spirit then chastises them for compromising and becoming too much, too complacent in their practice of the faith, too much like the culture, the world out of which God has called them. The church at Sardis surely thought they were going to be commended for their good works. They thought everything was going very well, but the Spirit called them out by saying, "You have a name of being alive, but you are dead." Living on a legacy is a difficult thing to maintain. And the Spirit criticized the church at Laodicea harshly for their spiritual smugness, for their complacency. "For you say, 'I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked." So are these letters intended to be rocks or roses? Commendation or condemnation? Yes, both. And admittedly, no church is perfect. In fact, if ever you find the perfect church, do not join it. Because as soon as you join it, it won't be perfect any longer. I mean, look around you. Look within you. What an odd mixture we are of saint and sinner. At the same time, both holy and hypocritical, faithful and faithless. And so as we read these messages to the churches then and now, we must do so with an unblinking candor, with an honesty and openness to the message. We need to hear these words of encouragement which they give to us, but we also need to hear from them the correction. We need to hear the commendation and the condemnation, because both are given in order to help us to be shaped and formed into the people God calls us to be, as followers of Jesus Christ and demonstrators of his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I don't have the gift of prophecy. I've not been given a revelation like John. I don't have the gift of vision, as given to our former pastor, Frank Kick, stood in this pulpit in the Palm Sunday of 1994 and cast a vision of Tab's ministry and involvement and engagement in this community. And the vision that he cast largely has come into fruition because of casting that vision and our understanding it and living into it. But I do believe that we collectively have been given a vision for Tab's future, which, as we seek to follow it, both with our successes and with our failures at doing so, we will find ourselves faithful to God's calling to us and beneficial in the work of his kingdom purposes, that vision being our desire for greater faith, our development of deeper relationships, our commitment to a stronger community. God is still revealing. God is still in the vision casting business. In each of these letters, even in those that are most harshly written, the Spirit gives a way out a way of correction, a way of reform. To the church at Ephesus, recall they are the ones who had abandoned their first love. He writes, remember then from what you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. Remember, repent, and do again. No matter who we are, sinner or saint, where we are, near or far, what we've done, harmful or helpful, God has not given up on us. He has not given up on His church. He never has and He never will. The most familiar of the calls to remember and repent and do is spoken to the church at Laodicea. Recall, they are the ones who said, we are rich, we've prospered, we've got all we need, to which the Spirit said, no, in fact, you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. To them, the Lord gives a vision, which was later captured in the painting you are familiar with by Holman Hunt, called The Light of the World. You'll recognize it when you hear the message of the Spirit. Listen, says the Lord, I am standing at the door knocking. And if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you and you with me. To the one who conquers, I will give a place with me on my throne, just as I myself have conquered and have sat down with my Father on His throne. The invitation of Christ is always available. All we need do is remember, repent, and come back home. Ours is a God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances. He knows us. He knows every part of us. He knows the good, the bad, the indifferent of us, and He loves us still. Friends, this is the good news of the gospel. To those who confess and repent, to those who turn back and return home, to those who hear and respond to the invitation of Christ, to those who open the door of their hearts to Him, are promised the riches of the kingdom of God. A new name, the crown of life, a place at the banquet table in the feast of the heaven of God and the kingdom of God, the eternal life which is offered to us in the presence of God. I believe the central message of the book of Revelation, as mysterious and misunderstood and misinterpreted as it too often is simply this, that despite the suffering and the hardship, the persecution, the shame, the fits and starts and failures we may endure as we name the name of Jesus and seek to follow Him, we are called to hold fast to the faith and to the promises we have been given, to doing the good works to which we have been called, because in the end, God claims victory over all the forces of evil that work against Him and His kingdom purposes. So to whom are these letters being written? To the churches of the first century in Asia Minor? Yes, of course, their names are mentioned. But not to them only, but to us still today. To us, Tab, and the church on that corner, and the church on that corner, and the churches around the globe. To all who hear the message and preach and proclaim and live out the message of Christ. But not just to us or to them only, but I also believe to you and to me as well. Each of us who have responded to the call of Christ in our lives. This is a timeless, eternal, true word of God intended for us to hear and heed. And how do I know that? Because at the end of every one of the seven messages to the seven churches of Asia Minor, we hear these words, let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Which means this is not one of those messages that we should listen to and say, oh, I hope so-and-so is listening to this one. This is one of those where we say, Lord, I need to listen to this one. So as you reflect, as today you read these messages, Perhaps instead of naming Ephesus and Smyrna and Laodicea and Philadelphia, instead of inserting in there the name of the one sitting next to you, I'll encourage you to insert your name, as I will insert my name, to see what the Spirit is saying to you, to us, to me. So may this be our prayer today. Lord, give us the ears to hear whatever it is you have to say to us, to me. And give me the courage, give us the courage and the faith to remember, to repent, and to do that which you instruct us to do. To your honor and to your glory, we pray it through Christ our Lord. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, we individually, we at TAB, we as your church know your faithfulness. And for that, we give you thanks and great praise. We pray today that we will hear and understand in a new way that this word of Scripture is not spoken to another person, another place, another people. That this message is written to us, to me, in a way that I need to hear and understand what it is you're saying in order to form and reform, to shape, so that we might be useful in the work of your kingdom and bring all honor and glory to you. For these and all things we pray through Christ our Lord. Lord, hear our prayer.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. If you would like to listen to today's message again, there are many ways to do so. Subscribe to the TAB podcast on iTunes and other apps, or go to tabpres.org and tap on the graphic marked Sermons. If you prefer a CD copy, call us at 317-923-5458. That's 317-923-5458. Please mention today's date. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel, and at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.